The story of Joshua. With heavy hearts, the Israelites left Moses and made their way towards the River Jordan and the way to their new home. Despite being so close to the promised land, the dangers that had beset their journey were still far from over. So, Joshua sent two spies out from the main group. Ahead lay the city of Jericho, guarding the fords over the River Jordan. It was there that resistance was expected to be fiercest. Any information about troop movements, the morale of the defenders, or weaknesses in the fortifications might prove crucial in the battle to come. The two spies lodged in the one place in the city where strangers might come and go at any time, with no questions asked and none expected. The house of Rahab, the prostitute. As the two spies made their way through the town, they could see that anxiety hung over the city like a shroud. Indeed, news of the Israelites' adventures travelled before them. Those who might oppose them were in great fear. In a tense atmosphere, of course, the two strangers stood out like sore thumbs. The local guards recognised them as being not from the city. "You two! We're rounding up all foreigners. You're to come with us." They looked at one another. "Now I think would be a good time to run." "Just keep running, keep running." And they made their way quickly to Rahab's house. "Rahab, Rahab, hide us," as they banged on the door. She came to the door. "Quick, inside." She shut the door behind them and said, "So, who are you really?" "Israelite spies sent to survey the land ahead of the main party." "Ah, people here have heard of you and are terrified," said Rahab. "They are?" said the one of the spies. "Shh, there are people outside." The guards had arrived at Rahab's house. "We've searched every house in this district. There's only one left. The prostitute's house. Kick the door down if you have to. Find them." Meanwhile, inside, Rahab took the initiative. "Follow me," she said. "Sometimes my guests have to leave in a hurry. I have an escape route. Now, if you attack Jericho, you promise me you'll spare me and my family." "Yes, we swear it," said the spies. And she took them to a top window and let them down on a pre-prepared rope. "Hurry, hurry, before the guards return," she said. "And remember your promise. We won't forget you, Rahab," the spies said as they shinned down the rope. And so, the prostitute helped the spies to escape. They returned to Joshua with their news. The people of Jericho were afraid. They were scared of the Israelites. That was all the confirmation Joshua needed. Next morning, Joshua summoned his officers. "God has given the city of Jericho into our hands. The people are terrified. And we've yet to raise a sword or shoot one arrow. Tomorrow we cross the Jordan. We must keep all the people in ordered ranks." The Israelites had wandered the desert for 40 years by now. All the men of military age when they left Egypt were now dead. Only Joshua and Caleb, the two who trusted God, lived to enter the promised land. It was a new generation who crossed the river. Now only the city of Jericho stood between them and God's promise. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, when camped in the plain before the city, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The manna stopped the next day. From now on, they would eat food from the land of Canaan. As Joshua surveyed the camp, a man with a drawn sword appeared before him. "Halt! You there! Are you with us, or are you one of our enemies?" said Joshua. "Neither," said the man. "I am the commander of the army of God." "Take off your shoes, Joshua, son of Nun, for you are standing on holy ground. Jericho is yours as long as you follow God's instructions to the letter. Its walls will crumble before you. Listen carefully to what you must do. March your men around the city once a day for 6 days. Seven priests carrying trumpets are to walk ahead of the Ark of the Covenant on the seventh day, march seven times round, with the priests blowing their trumpets. Let the whole army give a great shout. Then the walls will collapse and your men will be free to enter. The city will be yours. Joshua got up early the next morning and summoned the priests who had carried the ark. Despite the strange instructions from the commander of God's army, Joshua trusted God completely. And so they marched around the city, the soldiers in the lead followed by the seven priests blowing the trumpets, the priests carrying the ark, and a rear guard of troops behind them. Around the city they marched, every day for 6 days, the soldiers marching in the shadow of the defences, the sound of trumpets echoing off the unyielding walls. Every day for a whole week they marched, beneath the watching eyes of the defenders. It would be fair to say that this wasn't really what the soldiers on the battlements of Jericho were expecting. Oh, here they come again. Look at them all. This is the seventh time this week. What are they doing out there? All that wandering around in the desert must have addled their brains. They began to taunt them from the battlements. What's the matter? Too scared to fight? Don't you know any other tunes? You're starting to bore us. Oh, why don't you show us what's in the box you're carrying? It's got to be more interesting than listening to this all week. The people, meanwhile, did as Joshua commanded, and when the priests blew the trumpets, the army gave a great shout, and at that moment, the walls started to crumble, and the walls came tumbling down. At once, Joshua's army swept up into the city, killing everyone and everything in their sight, men and women, old people and children, cattle, sheep, even the donkeys in the stables. All fell to the swords of the Israelites. But Joshua remembered the promises made to Rahab, and so she and her family were led to a place of safety out of the violence and destruction. Except for the prostitute and her family, every living thing in Jericho was slaughtered. That night, Jericho was burned to the ground. As time went on, the armies of 31 kings fell before Joshua's army, the shrines of the pagan idols destroyed, the promised land was to be home to a people chosen by a God who tolerates no rivals. The Israelites put an end to the child sacrifice and the shrine prostitutes, to the evil that lay on the land. And then Joshua spoke to the people one last time. For never again would all Israel be gathered in one place. These were his words. This is what the Lord our God says. Long ago your fathers lived far beyond the river Euphrates and worshipped strange gods. But I took your father Abraham and brought him to this land called Canaan. I gave him Isaac and to Isaac his sons Esau and Jacob. But Jacob went to Egypt. So I sent Moses and I brought you out. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Throw away the gods your fathers worshipped beyond Euphrates and in Egypt and serve God only. Choose now whom you will serve. As for me, said Joshua, and my family, we will serve the Lord. The people chose God that day, as Joshua chose, and the 12 tribes went each to the section of land that Joshua had apportioned. Joseph's bones, carried from Egypt, were buried. They were home at last. In the years after Joshua's death, a new generation arose who knew nothing of God or what he had done for Israel. And those who did know simply didn't care. Life was good, and while life was good, the people did as they wanted, comfortable in their new land, They grew lazy and complacent, and ultimately decadent. They became attracted to pagan religions and worshipped Baal and Ashtaroth, the gods of their enemies. Their own god forgotten, they lost themselves to revelry and orgies. They embraced the fertility cults of their neighbours. They bowed to statues made of stone and wood and celebrated the obscene rites of darkness in place of God's light. They broke every law known to them, religious and social and moral. The country became gripped by real, tangible evil. These were dark times for Israel. But although they rejected God, God still had plans to save them. It was to this end that he sent people who, despite the dangers, would rescue Israel from their enemies. This was the day of the judges.